Saluten from BA. This is a Rorschach multilateral update from the 9th of December 2025, a summary of what's going down in the world's major multilateral institutions. First on the agenda this week, on Friday the 5th, US officials told European NATO members that Washington wants them to assume most of the alliance's regular defense duties by 2027, including air defenses, intelligence roles, and troop commitments. The idea is for Europe to handle more of the day-to-day military workload rather than relying so heavily on the US. Also on Friday the 5th, UNICEF said that millions of kids across Southeast Asia are being hit again and again by severe weather, including storms, flooding, and heavy rains. Many families have been pushed into temporary shelters, often without clean water or steady access to healthcare. Schools have closed for long stretches, leaving children without routine or support. UNICEF added that the repeated disasters are wearing down vulnerable communities, making it harder for families to recover before the next crisis strikes. Aid workers describe children coping with illness caused by contaminated water, the emotional strain of displacement, and the loss of familiar spaces like classrooms and playgrounds. UNICEF called for urgent investment in resilient infrastructure and child-focused disaster responses, warning that without stronger support systems, the cycle of disruption and hardship will only deepen. Speaking of kids, on Wednesday the 3rd, the United Nations General Assembly approved a measure backed by the United States and many other countries that urges Russia to return Ukrainian children taken from their homes during the war. The resolution requests that the children be sent back safely and without conditions, even though it is not legally binding. UN officials have raised alarms about Russia's systematic abduction and transfer of Ukrainian children from occupied territories, a violation of international law. Investigators say thousands of kids have been separated from their families, relocated across the border, and placed in camps or foster homes, where they are often subjected to propaganda messages and pressure to renounce their Ukrainian identity. Many parents have no clear way to track their children's whereabouts, and some who attempt retrieval face intimidation or legal barriers. Human rights groups warn that these removals are not isolated incidents, but part of a broader strategy to erode Ukraine's cultural fabric, prompting calls for greater international pressure, coordinated rescue efforts, and stronger mechanisms to document and reverse the disappearances. In more conflict-related news, on Saturday the 6th, the head of the UN Security Council wrapped up a visit to Lebanon and urged Israel and Lebanon to stick to the ceasefire that was agreed to in late 2024. The two sides intensified fighting after Israel's military response to the attacks in 2023. He said the Council fully supports Lebanon's independence and its ability to manage its own security. The delegation met political leaders and traveled to the Blue Line, the unofficial border separating Israel-controlled territory from Lebanese territory, to look at conditions on the ground. In tech, on Friday the 5th, regulators at the European Commission fined Twitter more than $120 million for breaking the bloc's digital services law. They said the social platform failed to give enough transparency. Its blue check verification system was misleading, its advertising database wasn't open enough, and outside researchers couldn't access public data records. Still in the digital world, on Thursday the 4th, the United Nations Development Programme and the Korean National Police Agency wrapped up a global policy meeting in Bangkok aiming to curb gender-based abuse online. Their effort is part of a push to stop technology-facilitated violence that disproportionately targets women and marginalized people. Several countries will now receive support to strengthen laws, train police on digital crime investigations, and run public awareness campaigns. Back to health for a bit. On Saturday the 6th, a joint report from the World Health Organization and the World Bank said that many countries have improved access to basic health services since 2000, and fewer people are being dragged into severe financial strain by medical costs. Even with that progress, billions still cannot get the care they need. In legal news, on Wednesday the 3rd, a Libyan man accused of overseeing torture and killings at a notorious prison asked judges at the International Criminal Court to release him while his case moves forward. The court has already taken him into custody after Germany turned him over following a sealed warrant. The suspect, Khaled Mohammed Ali El Ishri, is said to have played a leading role at Mitiga prison near Tripoli, where thousands were reportedly detained under harsh conditions between 2015 and 2020. Judges told his lawyer to submit a formal written release request. A hearing to decide if there is enough evidence for trial is scheduled for May. In an update to a story from our previous show, on Monday the 1st, a team from the Economic Community of West African States arrived in Guinea-Bissau to speak with the officers who recently took control of the government. They pushed for a return to elected leadership and tried to get the military authorities to reverse their move. Even though the delegation met with the new leaders, it left without any real progress. On Tuesday the 2nd, the International Organization for Migration and the UN High Commission on Refugees asked for almost $800 million to support migrants and refugees throughout Latin America and the Caribbean. They said the money would help more than 1 million people who need safe shelter. The appeal covers 17 countries and is meant to improve coordination so help reaches people faster. The agency stressed that many families are still on the move or living in unstable conditions and need consistent support. Meanwhile, in the same region, on Friday the 5th, the Inter-American Development Bank Group and Economic Commission for Latin America and the Caribbean unveiled a new regional data platform called Housing and Urban Intelligence. The tool gathers over 3,000 indicators across 18 countries and draws on more than 500 official sources to give a clear picture of housing and urban conditions. The aim is to help governments, researchers, and planners spot needs, measure progress, and better shape housing and city planning. In trade news, on Wednesday the 3rd, the World Trade Organization and the World Bank unveiled new tools to help developing economies get more out of global services trade. The initiative was launched at the start of their two-day conference on services trade for development, offering data, guidance, and resources designed to help countries better navigate trade in services and increase competitiveness. Officials said the aim is to support governments and businesses seeking to expand services exports, especially in sectors like tech, finance, and consulting, in ways that foster broader growth and inclusion. More on trade, as on Friday the 5th, South Korea and the Association of Southeast Asian Nations set a goal to push their yearly trade to $300 billion by 2030. Officials outlined plans to work more closely on digital development, supply chain stability, and cooperation in areas like energy and infrastructure. Both sides said the target is reachable if they keep expanding economic ties and removing hurdles that slow business activity. They also framed the effort as a way to strengthen long-term partnerships and create more opportunities for companies throughout the region. In finance, on Thursday the 4th, the International Monetary Fund completed its 2025 Article 4 assessment of the Republic of the Marshall Islands. The report highlighted that the country's economy is gradually improving thanks to growing external aid and support in its efforts to manage high public debt. And to close this edition, an opinion piece published on Friday the 5th from the Council on Foreign Relations said the new U.S. national security strategy places the Western Hemisphere at the center of Washington's priorities. The editors who wrote the piece explained that this shift matters a lot, as earlier United States strategies focused on Europe, the Middle East, and Asia. Instead, this one argues that challenges within the United States deserve the most attention. The authors raise concerns that narrowing America's focus could leave important global responsibilities unattended. Check out the opinion piece with the link in the show notes. And that's it for this week. Thank you for joining us. Our new very cool t-shirts are out now. Check them out with the link in the show notes. See you next week.